Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 12 in Romans 8 and read through verse 17 as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. As we continue our study in Romans, we come to Romans chapter 8 and we'll begin reading at verse 12 through verse 17. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with him, that we may be also glorified together. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we look and continue to look at the application of law and gospel. Excuse me a second. As we consider the contrast and the similarity between law and gospel, that they work together. The gospel points us back to the law, and the law points us forward to the gospel. And therefore, brethren, we aren't debtors. If we think about how Paul lays out most of his epistles, he starts out in those epistles saying, this is what you are as Christians. And that's what he's done in these first verses as well of chapter 8 of Romans. This is what we are. We are forgiven. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then as we continue in the epistles as he writes them, he tells us, okay, this is how we live as Christians. This is our life in thanksgiving for what God has done for us. And here Paul tells us and points us to where that comes from. We just sang concerning the quickening Spirit, he who makes us alive. And the Holy Spirit is he who works in our hearts, causing us more and more, as we say, to turn away from sin, causing us more and more to take delight in living according to his word and thanksgiving. And so we have the wonders of the grace of God. We are heirs of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's a theme that we want to see as we look at this passage of God's word. We are heirs with Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. In verses 12 and 13, we are debtors to put to death the deeds of the body. In verses 14 and 15, we are sons of God led by the Spirit of God. And in verses 16 and 17, we are heirs of God with Christ. Believers are heirs with Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't spend a lot of time in the Reformed Church talking about the Holy Spirit, because as the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit teaches us about Christ. He doesn't spend his time saying, look at me, look at me. He says, look at Christ. And so as we look at this passage, we want to be reminded that our faith is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is very active as Almighty God. And we are debtors to put to death the deeds of the body, the Holy Spirit working in us. We can't do that of ourselves. The Holy Spirit must work in us. We're not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We have to understand that. We don't have to live according to the flesh. We are changed. God's Holy Spirit is working within us. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the order of things here. The order of our salvation doesn't come, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, live a good life, and then you're saved. Quite the opposite. Because God has worked faith in us, because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are Christians, then we're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but we are debtors to follow after Christ. We are debtors because it's already paid. Our debt, our sins are fully paid for us. And so we don't live according to the flesh. Going back to the second verse of Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. We don't have to live according to the flesh. Going back to Romans 6 verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We are in Christ's death, dead to sin. Verse 8 of Romans 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're following after the deeds of the flesh, we cannot please God. And so we are called to put to death the death deeds of the flesh. We're called to put them to death by the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is Galatians 5 verse 16. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God's Holy Spirit working within us causes us to live not according to our natural way of life, but according to the new way, the new life that is in us because of what God has done for us. Excuse me again. This is not what we do naturally. This is not our normal way of life. We naturally live according to the flesh. We naturally follow after the ways of the flesh. And so there's two things that we need to see there. First of all, if we are, by God's grace, hating and turning away from sin, that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And we can be the more confident that God is working in us by His Holy Spirit. But also, as we consider ourselves and we look at our sins, we need to know that they're paid in Jesus Christ. So as we struggle against sin, and it's going to be a struggle, we've talked about that over the last weeks here, that as we struggle against sin, and as we fail and fall, again and again we are driven to the cross and to the Savior who has paid in full for our sins. That though we look at ourselves and say, oh wretched man that I am, crying out as we read at the end of Romans 7 there, who will deliver me? I am rotten. There is nothing good in me except to will by God's grace. Yet, that is the grace of God. That is the marvelous grace of our God, saving sinners who deserve rather His judgment, not His grace. But He does. And so, we can have that confidence that we, as we desire and as we, by God's grace, put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body, that is God working in us. We are sons of God led by the Spirit of God. We are led by His Spirit. As many, verse 14, as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We are children of God, sons of God. All who are so led, as we said, these are not our normal desires. Our normal desires are sinful desires. To do the things that the world around us does. To get along and go along. Going back to Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We are not slaves of sin. We are to present ourselves, he goes on to say, slaves of Christ in obedience to Him. And that, of course, requires the work of the Holy Spirit within us. But that doesn't mean that we are neutral in that, that we can put the car in neutral and say, Jesus, take the wheel. As Paul says, writing to the Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. We are not in neutral. It is the grace of God working in us that we desire and do anything. But we are, by God's grace, cooperating in those works. And God tells us that those then are truly our works when we do those things which are right. We are so led by the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, righteousness are the opposites of our normal desires. Romans 7, verse 18, "For I know it that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I find not. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Brothers and sisters, that is an awesome word right there. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. How many of us live our lives struggling with fear because I am a rotten sinner? And I do deserve it. But brothers and sisters, we don't need to fear God's judgment. We have passed from death to life through Jesus Christ. And so we do not live as those fearing that at any moment God will drop the anvil. We can live as those who have been bought and paid. And that certainly changes our lives. That changes how we can live. Because our culture lives after this fear. And they live often in fear, in true fear of eternal judgment. But brothers and sisters, we need not fear the judgment of God. Because we have passed from death to life. Our debt is paid in full. He has saved, the writer to the Hebrews writes, to the uttermost. Not just part way. Yes, I'm rotten. Yes, I deserve. That's what Romans 7 is about. I deserve God's hell. But by God's grace, He didn't give it. He has given to us heaven. We are sons of God. We are natural state as fear of God because we are sinners. We have offended God. But He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. That fear is Romans 1 through 3, chapters 1 through 3. God's case against all mankind that we deserve hell. Romans 3, 19 and 20. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world might become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And yet, the Christian church has spent time saying, "Well, we may not be able to keep the law of God, but we've got to keep these laws." Sometimes we set them higher than God's laws. No, the grace of God is what saves us. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ saves us. We're not saved because I'm better than y'all. We're saved by the undeserved favor of God who saves sinners, who calls us out of darkness because of what Jesus done. Instead of fear, we have the adoption as sons. And when we struggle with that judgment of God, which we know we deserve, when we struggle and look at ourselves and say how rotten I am, we need to bow before God and pray, "Lord, help us to truly believe Your promise, Your word, which is more true." As He says later on, "The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children, children of God." And brothers and sisters, if we look at ourselves and we say, "Well, I'm still not worthy," and it's easy to do, I do it myself. And if we look at ourselves and say, "Yes, I'm not worthy," and we're right in saying that, but if we're not willing to accept the Word of God, which says, "Yes, you're not worthy, but I paid your debt. Then we are placing ourselves over God, and that's a dangerous place to be. We are adopted as sons. We have the place not in the jail that we deserve. We have the place not on execution row, which we deserve. But we have the place of children of God. The spirit of adoption. We did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Isaiah 56 verse 5, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place, a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give to them an everlasting name that they shall not be cut off. This is what's given to us through Jesus Christ because of what God has done in sacrificing His Son, by which we can cry out, Abba, Father. This is the same address that Jesus uses. Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. In the midst of Christ's preparation for the cross, as he is sweating great drops of blood, he cries out to God this same address that is given to us. This loving address, this personalized, if you will, daddy address, by which we can come because we are children. In fact, as we read there from Isaiah 56, better than that of sons and daughters. That we can cry out with confidence before the Lord, before our Father. That He hears us because He is our Father. I love that way in which the Heidelberg Catechism again and again speaks. Because God is our Father for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so we can trust in Him more than we can trust in our earthly fathers. Galatians 4 verses 5 and 6, to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Again, this amazing gift of God, this closeness to God has been brought because Jesus has paid the whole debt. And we are heirs then of God with Christ. Believers are the children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. We are children of God. We are not estranged because of our sins. We have been brought back into the fold. That same picture, if you remember the parable that Jesus speaks about the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is brought not back and set in the pig folds there. He is brought back into the house. He is brought back before Almighty God in love with the Father. But as many as received Him, He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name. Hosea 1 verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered or measured. And it shall come to pass in a place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. That wonderful, that awesome play between what God says to the children that Hosea has. And it's such a horrible story, and yet it's the story of God's grace. The names of the children are Lo Ami, not my people. And yet God says, those who are not my people, these are my people. You and I, we deserve God's judgment. We deserve His wrath. And yet He has brought us into that right relationship, to live in thanksgiving and in praise to Him. And we are heirs with Christ. If God's Word didn't say it, I couldn't believe it. But that's what's on the page here in verse 17, isn't it? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We are children of God. We are heirs on a par with Christ. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through believing in Jesus Christ, we are heirs with Christ, heirs of the glory which he has. And notice as well, we're going to suffer. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We are not saved from hardship on this world. We talked about that in the Heidelberg Catechism, didn't we? And yet, we have to understand that as we live in this world, and even as times of trial come, our eyes should be focused not on the trial, but on the promise that God has given to us, the certainty that God has given to us, eternal life. And so, we're not saved by suffering, but having been saved, God says, that doesn't mean that on this earth we are accepted from suffering. And suffering particularly for the sake of the gospel. Acts 14, verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said the same thing, that if they persecuted the Son of God, how much more will they persecute those who follow after him? But brothers and sisters, our hope is not this world. Our hope is eternal, and it is certain, and we are children of God. We are heirs, heirs of God, heirs with Christ of eternal life that he has purchased. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. And brothers and sisters, our confidence is in the salvation, in the hope eternally given to us in Jesus Christ. We are heirs with Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did. The application of that work by God's Holy Spirit. We are debtors to put to death the deeds of the body. Having been saved, we are called to live differently than the world. Differently than our natural way of living. And we are sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. And we are joint heirs with our Savior of eternal glory because of what he has done. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we stand in awe that we are, by your grace, joint heirs with our Savior. That we are heirs of the glory because he has purchased it for us. We pray, Lord, confessing our sins, confessing our unworthiness. And we are so thankful. We praise you, O Lord, for the grace that you have to sinners. We thank you, O Lord, that you do not see us in our own sinfulness, but that you see us in Christ's righteousness. We pray, Lord, work in us by your Holy Spirit, that we might live lives of service and of glory to you. We pray, Lord, work in us by your Holy Spirit as well, confidence, not in ourselves and our own righteousness, but confidence in the Savior and in his perfect righteousness, in his perfect obedience, in the salvation which he purchased. We pray, O Lord, that we might be found by your grace, found in your grace, and that we might not turn away saying, what are we? But that we would glory in the gift which you give us because of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. For we ask these things, we bow before you in his name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.